put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Yeah. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Welcome to season 3 of BYO Blanket, a yoga podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute, all inside a blanket fort. Before we start, let's go over to Junon for a quick message. Junon?
Hello. Please do not hit the fast forward 15 seconds button. I know I can feel your finger
Don't
hovering
it.
Over it. Just listen to this thing. I'll make it really fast. We continue to need support for the show so that we can do it for you guys. Patreon.com/BYOblanket is how you become a patron of the show. Very small amount of money per month. You get some really cool swag in return, and you get access to bonus content, which we are putting out more and more these days. Be excited for the next bonus content. It's going to be stuff like guided meditations.
Ooh.
Other things I haven't thought of yet. Anyway.
They will be there.
Yes. Patreon.com/BYOblanket. Thank you so much. Love you. Bye. Mwah.
Thank you for the lovely message, Junon.
You're welcome.
Welcome, listeners, to our episode.
Hi. I'm Junon.
I'm Maria, if that wasn't obvious.
We're Junon and Maria.
Or Maria and Junon.
Yeah.
Anyways, you guys, we have a super exciting episode for you today.
As always.
Peruge, our guest, is amazing.
And from the other side of the freaking globe, we finally got an international superstar.
Woo!
Guest in the blanket
international fort. Yoga celebrity.
Yes, via Zoom. Coming in via Zoom. You guys all the way from Germany, from the land of the beer and the impeccable train system. We have Mona.
Hi, Heep. Mona.
Hi, Mona.
Hello, Janan. Hello, Maria.
Hi.
And I'm super excited to be on your podcast.
Yay. Who would have thought that our vacation to Germany would have led us to meet a really cool yoga teacher in Germany that would then be on our podcast?
In my yoga class.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did. So we met Mona when we were in Cologne in December. And we decided we were going to take a yoga class.
And we took the most advanced class that they offered.
In German. By the way, the class was in German.
German.
And we were like, you know, we're yoga teachers. We'll probably get it.
I mean, it was perfect. I didn't even notice that you didn't speak any German, but yeah.
How do you say inhale and exhale? It's like,
Einatmen and ausatmen. It sounds much cooler in English, though. Inhale, exhale. It's much more straightforward. And in German, it's such a long, the words are always very long, I think.
I really like the word for exhale. It sounds like German exhale.
Use many more words for expressing things that you use. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I liked it. It was a really good class, and we felt compelled to go to the studio because the studio is called Yes Yoga, and it's like yes with an exclamation point. And at the time, we were enrolled in a 40-day long yoga program called 40 Days Yes. With an exclamation point. So when we found the studio, it was like, whoa, this is...
We just had to, right?
This is weird. So we went to Mona's class. It was super good. And we hung out like the next night somewhere outside of the yoga studio at a bar.
And we went to the Christmas market.
Oh, yeah.
We went to the Christmas market. Then we went to a bar. We hung out. It was great.
Yeah. And Mona was the healthiest of all of us. She was like, no, thank you. I'm not drinking right now. And we all got kind of drunk. Except for Mona.
It was just because I did this Ayurveda treatment before and I felt so healthy and clean, but
I've had some wine
since then, so I love some red wine.
Either way would have been great.
Had fun. Yeah, it was awesome.
We had fun. Yeah,
so
we don't need the alcohol.
Exactly.
Either way.
All right, let's talk about the topic.
Well, no, wait, tell us about yourself.
Yeah.
Tell the listener all about Mona from age 0 to I actually have no idea how old you are.
All about Mona. That
30.
Will probably take another episode, but I will try to make it short because, I had so many different lives already, you know, but I tried to make it compress it into little things. So I am from Cologne. I'm from here. But after I finished high school, or actually during high school, I lived in Spain for a year, and mm-hmm. already then I knew I wanted to, you know, go abroad. I wanted to speak lots of different languages. I wanted to be with different people and get to know the world. Then I moved to the UK after school and lived there actually for 8 years. And I started studying, you know, international relations, diplomacy, things like that. But I noticed, I don't know, this is not really how I feel things. I can really, you know, make an impact on a daily basis. And I found yoga while I was studying. And I, there were some teachers that I really loved and thought, wow, they have such an amazing impact on me, on my physical and mental health. Mm. And I really would like to be someone like that too. Or I had these two teachers that I really admired, you know, and they were kind of my, you know, yoga idols, something like that. And I always wanted to learn more and more and more. And yeah, you could find me at the yoga studio every day, probably in London.
Yeah.
And then I did a yoga teacher training after some time, probably after 1 year or so. I think that was 2012. And while I was doing my master's, and then I didn't actually plan on becoming a full-time yoga teacher, but then I got all these, yeah, cover classes and thing and classes they wanted me to help them out with. And yeah, and all of a sudden I didn't become a diplomat. I became a yoga teacher in London from, yeah, a freelance yoga teacher. And I think it opened up a whole world of, yeah, the body-mind connection. During my master's, I already wrote a thesis on the obesity debate in the US, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it was on food politics, on the, you know, the dairy meat industry lobby. And so that was already, I was already very interested in nutrition and things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
But then yoga opened up to me this whole new world about, you know, the body and the mind and what an impact it had on me as well, physically and mentally. And it hasn't stopped since. I feel there's still so much to learn and so much to experience in my own body and mind, and also with my students. You know, I also don't like saying that I'm a teacher, because I still feel like I have so much to learn still too on a daily basis. But I want to bring across something that I experience or that I feel that has helped me and that has affected me, and maybe give that to other people, or what has inspired me or affected me.
Yeah.
And yeah, give that.
You already kind of touched on the topic that you brought to the table. So what do you want to talk about today with the BYO Blanket listeners?
What I wanted to talk to you about, or to talk with you together or discuss, is the body-mind connection, that we can't separate the body and the mind, that they are essentially one thing. And we are getting better at understanding the body-mind and how the body is speaking to us how it's all interconnected. But I think there's still so much to learn and so much we don't know yet. And also, for example, how our gut is, as smart as the brain, or, you know, in a different way, but how the gut influences our health and our mental and physical health so much, and everything that we take in, also our mental health. And
we have a saying at our yoga studio that people have, maybe it's not a saying, it's just like an explanation of what we're attempting to do as yogis. We can operate as a very neck up society. We're just doing things with the neck up, but missing like 90% of the thing that we walk around with. If you go neck down, that's so much, I mean, literal surface area of intelligence that's below.
I catch myself, you know, at least once a week thinking, wow, I haven't actually felt my body today. I've actually been up here most of the day. And you know, yoga or any movement, I also found a new passion of dancing, or just movement, just moving creatively, or any kind of movement, just connecting by breathing with your body, or shaking your body, actually noticing this is all me, this is all, you know, this is all what I'm here with in this vessel, this is what I'm here with physically on this planet. Or
Janan usually says that I'm psychic, which is hilarious to me, because I don't think I'm psychic. I think I've gotten used to paying attention to my body,
mm-hmm.
and I've gotten used to paying attention to like the little subtle changes that I sometimes can't even describe. And that is almost like, I don't know, when I just say things, like, for example, I knew I wasn't going to go to Spain. I had no reason for it, but I literally could not see myself in Spain, even though I had this trip planned. I had, like, hotels booked. I had things to do. I had everything. And I was like, I don't know why. This was obviously way before we knew any of this.
Yeah, what Maria is referring to is the COVID crisis was happening, starting to happen right when we both had international trips planned. So I left before her, and I did actually go to India, and she decided to not go to Spain, to which it's funny that you say all this, Mona, because she was having these bodily feelings of just don't go. And when I asked her explanations, she would say, I don't know. Like, the brain had no explanation. And in my brain, my ego brain, was really attached to the fact that I spent weeks planning this trip for her and booking all of her things and making sure it was perfect. So I was, my brain was like, well, that's such a big waste of time and money. You should still go. It's not that big of a deal. And as it turns out, it was a huge deal. Maria's body was totally telling her the truth, and my brain was putting me in the land of illusion.
And then that's also a thing of where lies our intuition. Is it up here or somewhere in the body, you know, all everywhere, you know, that, that we can't really locate where anything is? And maybe our body is our intuition.
I think so.
I like that.
I think so. And I think the mind-body connection is such an intricate and paradoxical thing, because you cannot, I mean, I feel like trying to logically explain intuition or the mind kind of defeats the purpose of it, because it's not a logical thing. It doesn't happen in the brain.
And our consciousness, our subconscious, all these things, you know, how that also is kind of stored, you know, like trauma from our life, but also from our ancestors or generational trauma, how this has also not been, you know, there have been studies, but there are no clear answers, and how we are holding things that are not ours, essentially, in our body, that maybe have been given to us by our mother or our grandmother, you know, if we, you know, had grandmothers or grandfathers that have been in the war or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And now we are still maybe holding some trauma of that in our bodies as well somewhere.
Yeah, it's in this body of work that Marie and I sometimes, well, not sometimes study. We study it all the time, but we've taken trainings of it, Light Year Leadership. It's called, oh my God, Maria, help me out. Oh, carrying on a legacy.
Oh.
Like, you have an inherited legacy from your, you know, family, your ancestors. And the part of the Light Year Leadership work is to realize what legacies you've been taking on, especially by accident, and then decide if you want to keep it or not. And I've felt, you know, you can't deny that you're a product of your ancestors. Like, I kind of look like my mom. I kind of look like my grandma. I probably look like her side of the family. And if they've been through some rough times, historically, that's going to show up in the DNA as it continues forth. And I'm going to be really, you know, one of those people that quotes a study and has no idea what study it is right now. But I remember maybe like 4 or 5 years ago when I was studying more about like meditation, mindfulness and all that, that they've started to see that in, when you meditate and you use, like, you start to point your mind in a direction away from, you know, the legacies that you've inherited, it actually can start to change the parts of the end of the DNA strand that which contains the information that you've inherited. It won't change it completely, but it'll basically make it benign and turn it off. So you won't actually.
So you kind of break the cycle.
Yeah.
And you kind of heal the trauma from your past.
Yeah, but it's not just yes, meditation, we always talk about it as a quieting of the mind, but really we know here as yoga teachers, meditation is a whole body thing. It's a whole body thing. Like, yes, you're quieting the mind, but you're quieting the mind through doing something with the body, whether it's sitting still or moving in a very precise way, something like that. But it's not just like your head floats off into space and, oh, you're meditating. No, you've actually got to be 100% present.
And your body.
And then also, for example, moving the body first and then finding your stillness, then going into Shavasana, which makes so much sense as well. For me individually, I find it quite hard to just sit down like that and meditate. But after I've moved and after I've connected with my breath, or connected body, breath, mind, kind of, or getting out of the mind with my movement and with my breath, it's much easier in the end to be still and to allow myself to let go and to feel that the tension I held in my body maybe before has gradually released.
That's, I think, what Kundalini yoga does, is it's starting at the very base of you and moving energy up and through, so that then it's all connected and what's the word? Very aligned. Like everything is bottom up and then aligned. Yeah. And
the chakras, or do you mean like from the root up to the,
chakra? Yes. Chakras. Over half of the chakras.
I'm getting more into it.
Oh, really? I used to, and I just haven't, because I haven't had time, but I used to teach a weekend-long chakra workshop. I think I've maybe taught it, 12 times?
Yeah, and I always joke and I always say that I am an expert because I've taken 12 courses in chakras, which have been mainly hers.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them hers.
Yeah, the chakra system is... you know, when you look into the details of how the energetic body works, it points to exactly what you're saying, Mona, that just it literally isn't disconnected. It is connected. The hand bone connected to the arm bone. Well, I mean, your head is also connected to your foot. And when you cultivate that connection over time, using physical movements, it creates this... But it's, you know, for lack of a better word, balance. Because if all my energy is always up in my head and, like, never in my body, there's going to be suffering happening somewhere, you know?
Then it's supposed to flow freely, I think. So between those seven centers, for example, or generally through the nadis, through these channels.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to, that our yoga practice, or whether it's Kundalini or Ashtanga or power yoga, or, you know, whatever yoga, is supposed to keep those channels to flow freely. And you can imagine this as well as your muscle tissue and your everything just being softer, and so everything can flow more freely. Yeah. And you maybe experience less aches. You know, I think you can experience, or you can explain it on lots of different levels. You can explain it medically, scientifically for people. You can explain it spiritually and mentally as well, which I love.
Yeah. What do you think of this? Because I know we started out with, we operate as a neck up society, so getting into your body really helps out. There do exist people, especially if you look into the world of athletes, that use their bodies quite a bit, and it tend to be balanced the other way, where the head can get completely turned off, you know?
That's an interesting perspective or angle. Because they might be very disconnected from their emotional life and from their from their mental health, actually, because they only know how to work their bodies.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to actually listen to, you know, their mind.
Yeah. I mean, as a yoga teacher, we see, you know, over the years, thousands of students, and there sometimes you come across someone who really, really pushes through the poses physically. It has a really awesome physical practice in terms of their technique and whatnot. And yet what I've sensed is not in balance. There is really connecting that physical movement to the upper chakras, or like you just said, their emotional body. If you, if we go into the koshas, you know, they're existing in just the body kosha, the outermost layer.
Yeah.
What would you say to... I've done it myself before too. Like I used to be in martial arts and play soccer, and I would just push my body through things and make it happen. And just because I was exercising doesn't mean suddenly my suffering in my life was lifted. So what would you say to someone or anyone who either is or knows a person who is very physically active, but yet does not feel balanced and is in more suffering than not still in their lives?
I mean, I know just from a few examples, because I used to do quite a bit of CrossFit as well. So I had a few CrossFit friends.
They have CrossFit in Germany? They have in the UK or Germany?
Both.
Oh, what?
Yes.
It must sound so crazy in German. Oh my gosh, like the instructors when they yell.
Aggressive.
Yeah. Oh my. Okay, how do you say...
I don't know. Say CrossFit-y things.
Say like lift this 20 times really fast in German. Can you say it?
Yeah, of course you can.
Lifte, they say as well, liften.
lifting.
Or, you know, you would do cleans and snatches and things like that. Snatch it or clean it. I think that it's mostly English. So
because
most of the things like deadlift and things, they are all English.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
And they all, you know, also when you are an international visitor, they give you an English introduction and instructions as well.
Yeah. I did not know you used to do CrossFit.
No, but I just remembered that I have a few friends there that actually, you know, like lots of CrossFitters do, they push themselves until they have lots of different injuries and they don't really know how to listen to their body. But let me know, tell me your question again. So if I've experienced that with people in my life.
Yeah, or, well, what would you say to someone who...
So my one of my friends, she is very into CrossFit and she pushes herself a lot with CrossFit, and she's had quite a few injuries, but then going to yoga and becoming still is super hard for her and to be in Shavasana, which I completely understand, because I think everything that you, also that you start and also being still in our society today is something, you know, very difficult or very, something very foreign to lots of people. So I think in the beginning, it's nice also for them to maybe start with power yoga, because with something more physically active, because to start with something like yoga nidra or with yin yoga, with something where they can't move at all, they just get super fidgety and they get put off straight away, I think.
Yeah.
And then it will never come back. That's just from my own experience, but I know, because I also taught it to athletes and to football players before.
Yeah,
I know that they will appreciate the relaxation so much more in the end, and they will be able to lie still and close their eyes and actually almost fall asleep. I had that happen so many times. When you get them to do proper yoga and they notice, wow, I haven't used these muscles, and they thought it was just a little bit of breathing and just a little bit of lying here and just chilling out, and then they notice, wow, it's so different, and they start sweating so much, and then they're actually so happy and relieved when they can lie down on their backs.
Yeah, totally.
And I think sometimes this is for lots of people, the right way to get into yoga, to not, you know, bombard them with all the spiritual stuff or with all the stuff that they might not understand.
But then
they will experience by using their body, they automatically find a way, you know, find a way further to get into their minds, to get into stillness and, you know, find that relaxation in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is, when I was in my 300-hour training and we were talking about the subtle anatomy, it was that's the module we were talking about. I asked them the same question, and I said, because we were having this inquiry question that something revolved around, like, why is yoga different than any other physical activity, right? And then my question to everybody was, like, couldn't you argue that you could achieve the same thing if you approach soccer or whatever sport you want to do mindfully? If you incorporated some of that stuff, couldn't you also get the same results?
What was the answer?
Well, the answer, everybody was like, oh, I didn't think about that. I don't know. That's really interesting. And to me, the answer is yes, I think you could, because asana, as we've mentioned plenty of times, is not the core of yoga. It's just one tiny little sliver of what yoga actually is. So I think you could. And I love the fact that there's a lot of now in like sports medicine or sports training, they start to incorporate meditation and they're starting to incorporate yoga and all of these other mindfulness practices that I think are really important.
Well, if you are just going to say, if you replace asana with soccer, but then you keep like nonviolence and cleanliness and oneness with source, that is interesting. I mean, I guess we could experiment with that by like raise our child that way, see how it goes. But do you guys think that there's any sort of, the word I'm going to use is magic, and I don't literally mean hocus pocus. I do mean just
Harry Potter sort of magic.
Yeah. Wingardium Leviosa. Is there any of that to like the poses themselves and the shapes that they are and the alignments that we do? Do you guys think that it's actually important that yoga, the shapes of the practice, do matter for something? Do you know what I mean?
I think it gives a container, a vessel, maybe something like that, you know, way of transporting this thing called yoga to put it into a shape, because we need maybe shapes. We maybe need some labels and things.
Yeah.
To call it something. And I also think they have a, you know, I mean, I think there is a purpose for them and they make sense.
Yeah. Like they stretch things in ways that don't get stretched in other physical activities. They help
our breath as well to, you know, to maybe to breathe deeper, to connect our breath to our body, to get deeper into certain parts of the body that maybe felt, you know, like when we're sitting like this most of the time and then we open wide and we reach up our arms and then it also affects us mentally, how we stand up, how we reach our arms out to the side, you know. I feel different if I'm like this the whole time or like this or like that. I'm just hugging myself, you can't see me.
Yes,
either hugging myself when I'm super small or if I reach my arms out to the side and open my chest up.
I think
the magic really is in the sequencing. Because if you do it intentionally where you're, like, actually working through, like, aligning the chakras or, like, maybe it's a grounding practice. And I know I've seen you, Mona, do a lot of this, which is, like, the elements. You have, like, certain – and I don't know if it's, like, because I haven't taken your class, one of those classes. And I'm assuming, or at least what I get from it is, like, I don't know, like a fire practice. And it's all revolves around that flow, like creating fire.
Exactly. Last week it was the earth practice, so a grounding practice, because I think actually I could teach that every week right now, because I think we can't have enough grounding right now, because this is actually also about the first chakra, or one of the elements of the earth element is related to the first chakra, and that's about survival and safety and security, and of course this is all being threatened right now.
Yeah.
So it's all about those grounding poses and connecting to the earth with our hands, with our feet, feeling stable in our bodies, and also asking ourselves what makes our body and mind feel grounded. How can we ourselves help ourselves without other external influences or without needing other people? How can we help ground ourselves by doing yoga, but also by listening to calm music, by, you know, having certain rituals, things like that.
See, so I think that's where the magic is, right? It's that purposeful, like, sequence that Mona, with her yoga knowledge, went and said, you know what, this is grounding, like, the certain, like, this pose after this, when you inhale here, you hold here, or you don't, or you, like, move fast here. I think that's where the magic really comes from, because you could probably use most of the same poses you would in that same sequence and create a more flowy or a more watery or airy and stuff. So I think that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
But for example, in the grounding sequence, I have much more forward folds and on our feet and connecting to the sitting bones, things like that. And now in the fire practice this week, it's more about twists and it's more about the core and the Manipura chakra, the sacral chakra.
Sacred jewel.
The solar plexus, things like that.
Yeah.
So, I guess strong solar plexus.
Yeah, me and Maria, we're the typical couple where our chakra imbalances are opposite of each other, so we fit together like a, you know, like a, like grooves. So
it's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and
so
that's
like
cute.
A zipper.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not. Basically, she has really super hard abs, and I'm a little bit more teddy bear status. What?
Cute.
I don't know where I was going with that. I was going to say something about your, with the poses. And the cool thing about it, too, speaking of the magic of the poses and how it can affect the body and the mind, is there's many poses that are just considered neutral. Like, you could do, you could make chair pose really grounding. You could make chair pose really fiery. Mm-hmm. You could focus on the things that the arms and the hands are doing and get more, like, air. So I also think it's...
Focus on, yeah.
Yeah, so you could... even if you're using the same shapes, it's really where we put our intellect's attention on that can create the energy happening in the body, which is so cool.
Magic.
Where your attention goes, your energy flows.
Yes.
Right? Exactly.
Okay,
that
here.
That also fits quite well into the topic.
Let's do, I always like to do this. You guys in the blanket fort with me, I definitely have done that. Listener, maybe you've never done this before. Okay, everyone be still for a moment. If you're driving, keep driving. But otherwise, everyone be still for a moment. And now, listen to this thing I'm about to say. Without moving it, think about your left foot. Feel it where it is. Are you doing it, Mona? Are you doing it, Maria?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just because you put your mind on your left foot, boom, energy flowed. And you know how? Because physiologically, your neurons were like, hey, I need to get information for my foot. So like down your body, down all of your electrical currents. Then your sensory receptors, whatever they're called in your foot, what are they called? I'm not a scientist. Thank you. Your nerves were like, oh, I'm a foot. Look, I'm feeling things. I'm on the floor. I'm touching your robe. And sent the information back up my leg, back up through my boob, up into my head. And then my head was like, I understand what's happening with the leg. So there's literally this line of energy flowing back and forth between head and foot just because I decided to think about my foot. So cool.
I think it's super interesting also in that, you know, with pain management, for example, as well.
Yeah.
You know, how we... You know, with chronic pain, for example, I mean, it's not like a fun topic maybe, but just, you know, it's a thing that affects many people. You know, how when we, because I think our body and our mind get used to certain triggers and there's something called pain memory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think. And then because we are so used to that pain and then, or under stress, it gets worse, things like that, you know, and that also again feeds this, yeah, this cycle between body and mind, you know, and how when we calm our mind, how our body can relax and how certain things like pain that we maybe have experienced can calm down as well. Because I just know that when I'm more under stress, my body creates more symptoms or pains or, you know, issues that I wouldn't have when I'm completely relaxed.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
You're wise beyond your years, Mona. Just so wise. How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, I knew that and I'd forgotten.
I said that earlier.
Do I seem like a old soul in a 30-year-old body?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
In a good way, not in a way where I think you're like a grandma or anything. A grandma.
You are wise.
You're wise.
Yeah.
So, guys,
I think I've come to terms with my age. It was, I think, you know, I
really?
I found it weird to become 30, to have his 3 in front. But
you get used to
it. I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's great.
You're gonna have
my
30s.
I've enjoyed them so far.
I think it's a privilege, actually.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. No, I mean, in 1,000 years ago, if you lived till 30, you were doing pretty dang good.
Yeah, and you know, now I think my little white hairs are a sign of wisdom.
I have so many.
Yeah, Maria is really freaking wise because she's
Be the wisest.
She's got a handful of white hairs. Right, you can't see him because she dyes her hair, but
no, you can start to see him.
They're a little there.
It's been a bit since I've colored.
I think it's great. I think, you know, look, we're surviving and we are thriving. I would say.
Yeah.
So, I think that's great,
guys.
I love this so much.
Short time we have with you, Mona. It is the end of the episode, so I'd love for each of us to go around and say one last little thing to the beautiful listener listening to this episode. Take it away.
Wow, it's already been that long.
Yeah, it's been 30, almost 35 minutes. Wow, I know.
Time flies when you're having fun.
What I would say, especially about this topic, I think what I'm still learning, and I would also would like other people to take with them, is to listen to their bodies, really. If it's just... Not just injury wise, but also I think our bodies are so wise also about decision making, you know, and when you are in a situation that might be good or not good for you, your body will show you, even if your mind doesn't know yet, your body will show you, and you might not be able to make the decision because your body knows, but your mind doesn't know yet. But in hindsight, that's my experience, at least. I always knew, my body always knew before I knew.
Quick question. How would you tell someone to listen to their body if they've never done it before?
Just, you know, maybe if they haven't done any kind of body work or, you know, it's something like yoga that integrates body and mind more, maybe slowly starting with yoga, because that's, I think, how you start to slowly get in touch more with your body. And because I think it's quite difficult to listen to your body if you don't actually know your body. So to get, but I think it never stops getting to know your body. So I think it's about slowly finding a way, and then I think it will just come slowly.
Cool. You thank you.
It's messages. A practice. Yes.
Maria?
Great question. Okay. So what I want to leave our listeners with today is an invitation for them to be an inquiry and discovery about where the magic, how the magic, what we just talked about, that the magic is all in the intention, and approach your life, everything you do, whether it is a yoga practice or just like making coffee in the morning, intentionally, and see how that transforms your life. What about you, Janan?
This is a lot of, when we talked about this body and mind and both being healthy and listening to your body in order to listen to mind, but then also you have to make sure your mind is calm so that you can listen to your body. It sort of reminded me of the age-old question of what came first, the chicken or the egg. Mm. So what is it first? Do you calm your body so that then you can listen to your mind? Do you calm your mind so then you can listen to your body? And what's really cool about it being that paradoxical cycle that actually doesn't have a beginning or an end is it's about being and simply starting and doing what you know to do in the moment. So if I'm, you know, outside in my regular, in my jeans, driving somewhere, and I want to listen to my body, well, then it would be, you know, calming my mind by taking a breath and then listening to it. And yet if I am feeling really anxious and it's like my mind just won't stop talking to me, then my solution is to carve out time very soon to then go be in my body. So if I were to be asked what advice I have about this, I would say do all of it. Practice things that calm your mind. Practice things that get you into your body. Both of those things for the rest of your life. The end.
The end.
Wow.
What an episode.
Epic. We're going to have you back, Mona, okay?
Yes.
I would love to. I mean, I just only got completely into it, so I would love to talk about more topics with you guys.
Totally.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Also would like me to be back.
1,000% yes. Yes.
Yeah. So with all that said, y'all, shout out to Mona in Germany. Mona, do you have like a website or an Instagram or anything that they can follow?
Yeah, Instagram at Mona Heap.
Mona Heap, MONAHEEP. It's really weird last
Perfect.
Name.
Perfect. Wow. So yeah. Many people get it wrong.
It's on your Zoom name.
Yeah.
So I can, I'm reading okay. it.
You shouldn't have said that. I was so touched.
Well, y'all go take one of her online classes. They're very good. I took an online class when all this first started happening. Really? It was awesome. And with all that being said, y'all, we gotta bounce. We are three important ladies of the world. We gotta go be in touch with our bodies so we can predict the future. So we're just gonna go do
yes.
that. Okay. With all that being said, let's cool. just say bye.
Thank you, Mona.
Bye. Bye. BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.
Blanket Ninjas.